Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is the Loving Life Podcast, coming from a parent's perspective, where we take a look at the past, the present, and discuss what the future has in store for all of us. Welcome to the Loving Life Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's Charlie Weddle. I think this is episode 37 of season one. How many episodes will we have in season one? I don't know. Maybe 50? Is that a good number? All I know is I like to do them and like to put them out there. But welcome to the Loving Life Podcast. This week, I am missing my partner in crime, my wife, Sandra. She is out of town doing girl stuff in San Diego with Deepak Chopra, of all people. Go figure, right? So anyways, today in the podcast, there's no shortage of things going on. We have a big concert here in the Valley called The Coolest Night Ever, and is featuring Tony Lewis from The Outfield, Modern English, and Belinda Carlisle. And in this episode, I've got a couple interviews. We're going to talk to Tony Lewis from The Outfield, talk about his new album and what he's been up to. And then we're going to chit-chat with Belinda Carlisle. You know, as the lead singer of The Go-Go's. She did a massive amount of solo work and pretty interesting young lady right there. Where does she live? Wow, you're going to find out where she lives. It's pretty cool. So let's check in with Tony Lewis first. Tony, how are you?
How are you? I'm a bit early, no?
Hey, that's okay. We turned the heat up because we knew you were coming.
Yeah.
We wanted to make it nice and especially warm for you. That's
yeah,
for sure.
116. Me and my wife have never experienced heat like this before in our lives.
Yeah, it can get a little bit warm out there. But hey, welcome to Phoenix, and we're totally excited for the show.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And we're going to have a little bit of a celebration because Robbie Gray from Modern English is celebrating his 61st birthday.
Oh, I see. 61. Wow.
Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to try to bring some cake, but don't tell him anything, okay?
That's a lot of candles, isn't it? You might need the fire brigade.
We can make that happen. So it's been a while. You've been doing this music thing for so long. I can tell you, I became a fan. I was in college at the time, and Your Love was pumping out of every college dormitory window, walking around campus. And here we are today. You're still performing. How does that feel?
It's great. I mean, it's the first time we've been out on tours for 14 years now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, as you know, I lost John 4 years ago.
I know, so sad.
And went on a sort of 4-year hiatus, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did some backing tracks after. I mean, after the first year, I didn't want to do anything at all, really.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And then after sort of another year passed, my wife said to me, why don't you do what you do best, get into studio and start recording and get out there and do what you do best, So I did some backing tracks, and I really struggled with the lyrics, but she helped me out with the lyrics. And and here I am now. It's just that, I've got a Randy manager who worked for Protocol Promotions emailed me and came over and said, do you want to go meet up for a drink? And I told him I got these songs, and he got us an indie record deal with Anderson Records in Atlanta, and the rest is just history,
That's great, and you just released a brand new album in June called Out of the Darkness, and the first single out there is called Into the Light. Getting back in the studio, that's kind of like riding a bike, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this time around, it was quite an easy process to record, just doing all instruments and the guitars and the bass and the drums and the keyboards and vocals, backing vocals and the production. It was just doing it myself, so with help of Carol's words and that, I was able to sort of do at least like one a week at my own leisure, and I didn't feel like pressured to finish it. It was virtually finished before I presented it to Randy. So, it just needed some of the tracks to be remixing, because Tanner, who's the owner of the record label, he's a drummer himself. He's drummed with Paul Rodgers and Bad Company.
That's pretty cool.
So it'd be great if he could drum on some of the some of the tracks, and he was happy to do that, and he mixed it at the studio, and we're very pleased with it.
It's probably a lot different now being in the studio because you're not so, I don't know, back in the day it was like, all right, big hit single, we need some more stuff, and then now it's just like, oh, well, you know, take your time, get her done.
Yeah, because I remember that story of Black Sabbath when they wrote Company, he said, you haven't got a single here, you've got to write a single, and they put a single together in about half an hour or something, and it was called Paranoid.
I mean, it was some of the biggest hits are written so fast.
It's funny because Your Love was written in 20 minutes.
Okay, so that's fast.
You know, John wrote it in 20 minutes.
Well, there you go. John worked really fast.
Well, I think it's just because John was influenced by the Cars, and we were also influenced by the Beatles and the Who and the Stones and the Kinks and all the 60s and 70s bands up to the bands from the 80s, you know, Journey and Foreigner and Mr. Mister, all those, Springsteen, all those sort of great artists. You tend to get influenced by all of them artists, and it becomes your own style. So it was quite easy to sort of put a simple song together, but we just didn't realize how big it was going to get.
And that was kind of a pop sound for back in the day when everything was so much punk and new wave, and it was bigger in the States here first than it was in England, right?
Yeah, we had American management. It was just totally focused on America. It wasn't really bothered about UK, which was not a bad situation to be in. I mean, after the first tour, we did do a few shows in Germany and Holland, but we never really have ventured outside US. But the last sort of 10 years, we've become popular more popular in South America and places like Trinidad as well, and Panama and Peru, Costa Rica, in places they love the outfield.
Hey, it's good to be loved all over the world. A lot of bands have been going outside of the United States to perform, and a lot of bands that you used to perform with back in the day, like Journey and Night Ranger, Starship, they're still touring. You're back out touring. That's got to feel great.
Yeah, it's weird because I remember we did 10 dates with Steve Perry's Journey, and that was quite an experience.
Sure.
Really was a great experience. You know, the big stages, the sheds, playing to like 3,500 to 5,000 people in a night. It was a great experience. It's great that they're still doing it.
I agree, and I'm glad that you're still doing it. Brand new album. Will you be doing any of the new stuff?
Great, yeah. Be playing Into the Light, which is the latest single. And I'm looking forward to playing some more songs because I've only been doing about 5 songs, and at least we do a couple more. We've been only doing like a 20-minute set because there's been like, you know, quite a few bands on the bill.
Hey, tell you what, I'll give the sound guy $20 and we'll let you go longer.
That'd be nice, yeah.
Tony, thanks so much for spending some time with me today. Appreciate it. We're looking forward to the show, and we will see you at the Van Buren.
Looking forward to it, mate. Thanks, Charlie.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. That was Tony Lewis from The Outfield. It's going to be so fun to see him on stage doing Your Love and all those songs that you grew up with, Say It Isn't So, since he's been gone. Man, wow. Everybody's going to be singing his songs. All right, so another performer who will be on stage at The Coolest Night Ever is Belinda Carlisle. And had a chance to talk with her. It's Belinda. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Belinda. It's Charlie at Cool FM in Phoenix.
Yeah, you're in Phoenix. How hot is it there?
We're going to top out at about 115 today.
Oh, my God. Well, we were 119 the other day in L.A., so.
And that's not normal.
No, it's not supposed to be like that.
Well, I promise to keep the air conditioning on inside the Van Buren. How will the show run?
I expect it'll go really smoothly and be a lot of fun for both the artists and the audience, because I like to call it the evening of instant gratification, because it's all hits. There's hardly any filler.
Love that. On the phone with Belinda Carlisle. Now, somebody asked me, and I didn't want to assume, but you all do some go-go stuff?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good go-go songs, you can't not do them.
Yeah. No, it's you know, part of who I am. So I always include a few go-go songs.
Well, you're going to love the Van Buren right off the bat. Such an amazing place to play. It gets packed and everybody sings the songs. You're going to have a blast.
Well, I would love that. I would love that. I hear it's a great place to play, so I'm excited.
So stepping back just a little bit, and I'm not sure how true this is, but before the Go-Go's, you were a drummer.
Well, I was the drummer that never played. I was in a punk band called The Germs.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I came down with mononucleosis and had to go back home to my mom and dad and recover.
That doesn't sound like fun.
And then I was in a backup singer in a punk band called Black Randy and the Metro Squad.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, I, you know, there's just the punk scene in LA was like 50 kids. So everybody was in a band.
And everybody was a drummer.
Not everybody. Including myself. I wasn't a drummer either. So I was like the drummer that never played, exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Not a drummer. That's all right. You're not breaking my heart. So you get with the Go-Go's, and then you're on tour with Madness. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was the beginning of really, of things starting to happen. We opened for Madness in LA. They asked us to come open for them in England, which we did. And we released from on a British label, We Got the Beat, to import, and it made the Billboard dance chart. And that was the beginning of, pretty much a full-on sort of go-go's.
How was the reception for you guys in England when you were doing that initially?
It was horrible. It was really horrible. I don't know. These five, middle-class girls from the States and the UK back in the late 70s, early 80s was hardcore politically and economically. And there was a lot of racial tension. So, their audience, the two-tone ska audience, was a lot of skinheads. It was very political. And then you'd have a lot of trouble. And, they saw five, young girls coming on stage. And I don't know whether they liked us or hated us, but they'd spit on us. And that was supposedly a sign that they liked you. And not only spit, but like really worked one up and spit.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
Such a term of endearment.
Yeah. It was so, I remember coming off the stage, all of us crying, and plus we had no money, and we were eating leftovers from the band at the top of the bill, the Madness or the Specials, and then we couldn't afford beer, so we drink cough syrup. I mean, it was like but I look back on those days, even like the tough days, like of getting spit on, is pretty magical and pretty amazing that we've come all this way.
Well, yeah, it's one of those phrases that I always like to say is everything happens for a reason. It's like, it's almost kind of like paying your dues so nice and early. And it's like, well, you remember those days?
I know. People don't realize that, these days music is a lot different. But back then you had to, you were on the road constantly working it and, earning a reputation. It wasn't just like instant, I'm on TV and then I'm a big star. But, we really, the Go-Go's were on the road for a year and a half straight once.
Right.
And that's with no life.
Right.
Know?
How do you feel today about music today? I was having a conversation with somebody. We're talking about how, music today is so, everything's so digital, and the charts mean so much different information. Like back in the day, it was, it was your spins, it was what radio stations were playing you, and then now it's like digital downloads and streams, and I mean, it's a different atmosphere today, so anybody
can
have a show.
Yeah, and it's changing so fast, and I know, I know that streaming definitely affects sales. I just had that experience where I had an album that, it was a chanting album that was like number one in world music and new age for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then I thought, I must have made at least the money back to pay for the album, because I put it out independently.
Sure.
And I was shocked about how little one sells these days and how people stream everything.
Right.
And that definitely affects the artist. There's no question. I mean, it was shocking. Really, really, really shocking. I won't give you the numbers, but it was seriously shocking. So, that's not good. I mean, there should be something like those, the different outlets like Spotify or Apple Music. I mean, come on, guys. It's not fair. You have to pay your artist too.
Absolutely. I mean, is that part of the reason why so many of these bands and so many performers like yourself still get out on the road, because that's where you're making your money?
Well, I think that definitely is, for any artist. I mean, not just artists of like an older, another generation, but that's where the income is from doing shows and merchandise and all that stuff. It's not so much record sales anymore.
Right.
Unless you're like Gaga or Beyonce or one
sure.
of those people. Like I'm that caliber,
right.
Yes. Those people aren't of that caliber.
Right.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, I understand that you do it because you love it. I mean, it's your job. It's what you've been doing for most of your life. But at some point in time, that job, that fun, that art, that creation that you do, it has to pay off for you. And it seems like you were just saying that nowadays, it's like pennies on the dollar for anything.
Pennies, literally pennies.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, what is it, like one or two cents?
I don't know what it is, but it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's just shocking. I mean, it was laughable, but I wasn't expecting. I mean, what I was doing was pretty esoteric anyway, and it wasn't right. for everybody. But, I mean, it is shocking, and I thought, wow. To be an artist with high expectations and to expect to be making a living off of record sales.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't really happen so much anymore.
I have to say that when you were starting your solo career, I was literally starting my radio career. In fact, I'd been in it for about a year in a little tiny town in Wisconsin called La Crosse is where I started doing radio. And so these songs and the ability to actually have a conversation with you. I met you a few years ago when you did a solo show out here at the Wild Horse Pass. To have this conversation after listening to you, and I mean, I still have the mixtape that has Turned to You on it from the Go-Go's, and I'm like, oh, that's great. Now Belinda's in the start of my career, and here we are having this conversation, but it's you still on the road, still doing your things. Now, I have a question for you. Are you still doing Go-Go's gigs?
We just finished 3 nights at the Hollywood Bowl. We don't tour anymore.
Right.
If something really special comes along, we'll do it. But I think, you know, pretty much the days of the band are pretty much over. I mean, the opportunity to play with the Philharmonic like we just did last week was pretty special, a once-in-a-lifetime
right.
Event. So something like that will do. But everybody has their own lives. I mean, I live on the other side of the planet.
You know, Thailand, right?
You know, I live in Thailand, so that's like 18 hours to get to, 21 hours to get to work. So I don't know. I'm not. If something comes along, it's great. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. I was there for the last show down here at the Comerica Theater when you guys played. Was going on almost 2 years ago now, right?
Right.
And it was a great show. It's just great to watch you guys, and now to see that you're still continuing going out there and getting the job done and making some money and doing your thing. It's great. It's really an honor to be, you know, able to still have these conversations with folks that were so big back in the day and continue to be a part of that lifestyle, because the audience, they are super fans of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure for us to be able to play. It's a blessing to be able to keep doing this. And I have an amazing back catalog to work from. And I'm really lucky in that way too, which is the greatest songwriters in the world. So,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good evening for everybody. I think they'll like it. I'm excited about it.
Any new projects that you're working on right now that we should know of, that we should keep in mind, be looking forward to coming down the pike?
No. Well, I'm working on an album. I don't know if it'll be out next year or the year after.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, doing that and, you know, I'm on tour with Culture Club at the end of the year in the UK. Next year is the 30th anniversary of Runaway Horses, so I have a lot in Australia and Europe. And then we'll see. You know, we'll see where we're at.
Right.
But I'm lucky that I can work as little or as much as I'd like to work. And last year was crazy, crazy, crazy.
Right.
And this year I put the brakes on it a little bit because it was too crazy last year. So
right.
I'm having a nice summer, just doing exactly what I want to do at a good pace.
That's good. Well, hey, you gotta stop and smell the roses sometimes and enjoy all the things that you worked for, you know?
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, Belinda, thanks for spending some time with us on the phone today. Certainly do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you, and thank you again.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
There you go, Belinda Carlisle. I still get a little bit starstruck, and it's one of those things where, you know, when I started in radio and I got to play a lot of these songs, and I was in a small town in Wisconsin, and those artists never really came through and did shows or anything like that, so there really wasn't too much of an opportunity to do interviews, and now here I am. Well, 30 plus years later, they're still active, still doing their thing. So it's really super cool to talk to them on the phone or meet them in person and just say thank you, which is pretty awesome. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for the Loving Life podcast for today. I'm Charlie Weddle. Want to thank Tony Lewis from The Outfield for being on the show. And of course, Belinda Carlisle. And yeah, just a lot of fun. Remember, the Loving Life podcast comes out every week, typically on a Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. Going to have another podcast coming your way. We're going to spend some time with the Conti family and talk about the Purple Society and their event coming up this Saturday, which is called the Little Black Dress Party. Sounds like it should be fun. Hey, remember, you can always subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. You can also do it on our radio.com app. It's really super cool. Just go to the App Store, download the radio.com app. It's on your phone. You can listen to a ton of amazing radio stations in our Intercom family, and you can also subscribe and listen to your favorite podcast, wink wink nudge nudge, the Loving Life podcast. Just select it right there. Follow me on social media. It's at charlieonair1, and that's on Facebook and Twitter. And just as important, please rate the podcast, give a review. It's important to me, helps me do a little bit better job. Thanks for your ears. I appreciate it so much. Until next week, this has been the Loving Life Podcast.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.